we're going to start off with the tensions which are rising even higher in the Gulf region as the Trump administration lays blame on Iran for the recent attack on two oil tankers, one of the tankers Japanese-owned. Iran is denying the claim and asking why would they attack a Japanese-owned tanker when the prime minister of Japan was on the ground meeting with Iranian leaders. Already, anti-war activists are raising the alarm that this may be a Gulf of Tonkin-type move by the United States, referring to the false incident that was reported back in 1964, which then led to the escalation of the Vietnam War. But the crew and operator of the Japanese-owned tanker has said that the tankers were struck by flying object, not mines. A mine attack was implied, though not explicitly stated by the United States via Pompeo, the secretary, the foreign secretary, Secretary of State. The U.S. released footage of a video they claim is of an Iranian vessel removing an unexploded mine from one of the tankers. Japan has thus far declined to support the U.S. story. We'll see where that goes. Meanwhile, the Japanese prime minister was in Japan at the time of the attack to carry a message to the Iranian leadership from Donald Trump, including a request from Trump to negotiate. The Prime Minister Abe was told in no uncertain terms that Iran would not consider negotiating with the U.S., given what they are referred to as provocations by the U.S., including the U.S. pulling out of the nuclear agreement. And in May, the United States sent a warship into the region as a warning to Iran, and then a few months ago named the Islamic Revolutionary Guards as a terrorist organization. For its part, Iran has several times now threatened to close the Strait of Hormuz, which is the main waterway for transport for the global oil trade. Let's go now to a clip from CNN about the U.S. response to Iran.
The Islamic Republic of Iran is responsible for the attacks that occurred in the Gulf of Oman today. This assessment is based on intelligence, the weapons used, the level of expertise needed to execute the operation, recent similar Iranian attacks on shipping, and the fact that no proxy group operating in the area has the resources and proficiency to act with such a high degree of sophistication. This is only the latest in a series of attacks instigated by the Islamic Republic of Iran and its surrogates against American and allied interests. And they should be understood in the context of 40 years of unprovoked aggression against freedom-loving nations. On April 22nd, Iran promised the world that it would interrupt the flow of oil through the Strait of Hormuz. It is now working to execute on that promise. Prime Minister Abe made a historic trip to Iran to ask the regime to de-escalate and enter into talks. Iran's supreme leader rejected Prime Minister Abe's diplomacy today by saying he has no response to President Trump and will not answer. The supreme leader's government then insulted Japan by attacking a Japanese oil tanker just outside of Iranian waters, threatening the lives of the entire crew, creating a maritime emergency. Iran's foreign minister today responded to these attacks. He said sardonically, quote, "Suspicious doesn't begin to describe what likely transpired this morning," end of quote. Foreign Minister Zarif may think this is funny, but no one else in the world does. Iran should meet diplomacy with diplomacy, not with terror, bloodshed, and extortion. The United States will defend its forces, interests, and stand with our partners and allies to safeguard global commerce and regional stability. And we call upon all nations threatened by Iran's provocative acts to join us in that endeavor. Thank you.
All righty, and there you heard Mike Pompeo laying it out there. And Jackie Goldberg, I know you have to switch phones very shortly, so I don't know if you would be able to start off with giving your reaction to all this.
Well, you know, it's always interesting to have the United States consider say that somehow or another that somebody else is provocative. I mean, what's provocative? You're following an agreement on the nuclear issue, Iran is, and then we nonetheless get return the sanctions and pull out of it. That's a provocation. We bring a ship into the area, an armed warship into the area. That's a provocation. We begin hyper attacks verbally on Iran. That's a provocation. So for Iran, it must seem like we're ready to attack them, because it certainly seems like to most Americans that we're ready to attack them. That they would want, if they wanted to do to interrupt the Hormuz Strait, they would have bombed ships once they were in the strait. You don't bomb them when they're outside the strait and say that's going to block the Hormuz Strait. So all of this is an attempt, you know, and also in that same Pompeo report, he listed 8 or 9 other things that he said were done by Iran, many of which we know were not. Were absolutely not done by Iran. Some of them by the Taliban, some by other groups, by ISIS, but they were not done by Iran. And so the notion here is it is definitely the Gulf of Tonkin. It is definitely the weapons of mass destruction and yellow, what it was, that yellow something or another that said,
right,
oh, that's why we have to invade Iraq. The United States wants to do something to its leadership in Washington wants to do something in foreign policy. It always says it's somebody else's fault. And in this case, I do not believe, even though I'm not sure that we should trust any of the players in the Middle East at the moment. They're all engaged in these incredible struggles for hegemony in that area of the world.
Yeah.
This is a time for the United States not to be involved, not to be selling weapons to all sides, not to be making money hand over fist over creating these crises in different parts of the world. And yet the United States continues to do what it does. And with the current president in power, Iran has virtually no way to know what Trump is going to do next, because the Americans don't know what he's going to do next.
Right. Thank you for that, Jackie Goldberg. Very well said there. And Laura Carlson, I mean, a couple of things. One, you've got the Japanese Prime Minister Abe going basically to do Trump's bidding and, you know, being really chided by the supreme leader of Iran, saying, forget about it. You're not even going to be allowed to give the message, right, because we're not even going to listen to that. But also the United States claiming that Iran could be the only player in the region to have attacked these ships because Iran's proxies, and again, they still would lay the blame at Iran, just don't have the expertise or the know-how and how to do it, totally ignoring that there's very well could be many other players in the region that want to set up Iran, basically, and to escalate tensions, particularly when a foreign leader like the Prime Minister of Japan is on the ground. Laura Carlson.
Yes, the timing of it is very suspicious. I don't think that was a joke of the foreign minister. I think many people are thinking that. And unfortunately, because of the panorama it presents to us, the dangerous panorama, I completely agree with Jackie. It's shocking that we're seeing this complete narrative on the part of Pompeo, a categorical assertion that Iran is behind this before there's any evidence. You know, there's this murky video that shows a mine supposedly on the side of a ship that contradicts testimonies by the sailors, as you mentioned in the introduction. And, of course, the United Nations is calling for an investigation. So we don't know what's happening. There's a lot of games going on there. And the situation that's being set up is really very concerning in terms of preparing the American people for a provoked war. And we have seen this before, and we have seen it before when there are contested elections coming up. War is the wild card that somebody plays when they think that they are in a position of possible vulnerability and they don't care about the human cause.
Right. Thank you, Laura Carlson. And Dr. Gerald Horn, I mean, it does seem that even if the U.S. Doesn't in the end make a military move against Iran, certainly Israel might, because they've been edging to do so for quite some time, and I think have only been restrained by, you know, other nations. And so I'm wondering what your take on all of this is, because it does seem that even if the U.S. doesn't go to war, and even though Trump had disciplined to some degree John Bolton, who is very, very hawkish and is ready to bomb anybody, that even the threat of war may be useful for Trump with the presidential elections coming up. Dr. Gerald Horn.
Well, I think you have to understand this latest conflict in the context of what's going on in the neighborhood. That is to say, the key U.S. ally that is Saudi Arabia is bogged down in a failed war in its neighbor, Yemen. In fact, the Houthis, who are perceived as an Iranian ally, have been making steady inroads into Saudi territory in recent weeks and months. If you look at the other Iranian ally, Hezbollah in Lebanon, they have now accumulated more missiles today than they had more than a decade ago when they fought Israel to a standstill. And then if you look at Iraq, Iran's immediate neighbor, not least because of the failed war waged by the 43rd U.S. president in 2003, Iraq is now more dependent upon Iran than it has been for centuries, from everything from electricity to security, by the way, against the so-called Islamic State. And then if you look in a bit wider scope, you see that the EU3, which were useful in negotiating the anti-nuclear accord with during the Obama administration, I'm speaking of Germany, France, and Britain, they're trying to develop a so-called special purposes vehicle to circumvent U.S. sanctions that would allow them to meet with Iran and deliver the benefits that Iran thought it would receive after it negotiated this nuclear deal. This comes in the wake of a summit between Russia and China just last week, where they are also trying to circumvent the use of the dollar in order to circumvent sanctions and tariffs that have been imposed on both Russia and China. But I think the wider question for people in the United States to consider is this repetition of the United States continually being dragged into wars, or launching wars, I should say, after candidates run for office pledging not to do so. Mr. Trump ran in 2016 supposedly as a faux anti-war candidate, and yet he is now on the cusp of launching perhaps the mother of all wars. The 44th U.S. president did the same in 2008. Then he launched the disastrous conflict in Libya, which in some ways is worse than the Bush launching of war against Iraq in 2003. I think that that's the larger question that all peace forces and all voters need to consider in the run-up to November 2020.